Welcome to another Gaslit podcast. I'm your host, Sean, and I'll be hosting this podcast for you on this lovely evening. Today's episode is going to be episode number 30. I can't believe it. We're actually at 30 episodes. Do you know most podcasts give up after three? So we're doing really, really well. And only 11% of those who do carry on, I think it's 90% that fail at three, only 11% of that 10% will actually make it past episode 50. So I'm pushing on for episode 50, and we're going to keep going with the podcast. So if you've got any questions, you want answered, anything explained, then drop us an email at podcast@gaslit.net, and we'll get an answer for you. So I'm still lining up guests to come onto the podcast. So it's been a long day. So I've been working all day today. So I do apologise if I'm on too much, or I'm a bit filthy and my hair's all disheveled and my hands are dirty. It's because I've been working, unfortunately. So I just want to bring you up. Big shout out to Sarah and Laura. Now, there are a couple of people I met the other day from Milton Keynes doing a job at their place of work. So the Milton Keynes crew, or the So Solid Milton Keynes Massive, or whatever you want to call them. A couple of lovely ladies down there. So I'll give you a bit of a shout out. So I was going to do part of this podcast, and I want to talk about their job, really. So hopefully I can put some pictures within the comments of this podcast down on the video side on YouTube. I'll have this on Facebook as well, on our Gaslit Kent Facebook page, if I can't get them on there. So I've not tried it before, so we'll put it on there. So we had a bit of a leak on the ECV, on the gas meter, on the gas side, which was taken care of. But the biggest thing was they had a Legionella's test done by another contractor last week. And during the test, they got to check for dead legs and make sure things are getting up to temperature and the stored water's above 60 degrees and bits and pieces like that. But one of the things also they've got to be checking for is expansion vessels. Now, expansion vessels come in all shapes and sizes. So this hot water system for this property, for this business, it had four separate hot water heaters that were in like two pairs. So they had a pair in on one level and then a pair in the other. And these were little 2-litre expansions. So they weren't big. They weren't big at all. Two were falling off the wall. And the reason why they're falling off the wall is because they were on the shoddiest of plastic pipes you've ever seen in your life, with flexies on flexies, which is just a massive no-no. You've got to make sure that the rubber inside the flexies are suitable for hot water systems and for Legionella bacteria. So make sure it doesn't grow, and then they're changed frequently as well, because there's no way of testing them. So the only way you can test them is take them off, throw them away and put a new one on. So just do them in hard copper to start with. If you do them in hard copper, you've got nothing to worry about. And there's such a simple test, and I've got an expansion here alongside us, and it's just one that was downstairs. I plan to cut up for a future video, so it's nothing special. It's a lot bigger than the other ones that we had, but I just want to show you just such a simple test, and I do this on every time. So I'll pick something here, and we'll have the expansion vessel like this. And all I do is tap it. I normally use my fingers, and you can hear it's got quite a hollow sound to it. And that means it's full of air. And if you look down there, I don't know, you probably see it, but there's the neoprene. So the actual, it's like a baffle that goes around the rim. I did another video before, so it sits inside and then it distends down with the air pressure coming from the top, which comes in here, which is a little strata valve that you have on car tyres and pedal cycle tyres and motorbike tyres. And then we just pre-pressurise the cylinder, and then all it does is push down and just holds the water out. So as the water expands, as we know, at 4% at boiling, it just pushes up here, and obviously it's in this orientation, and pushes against that bag, that thick neoprene bag, and pushes against that, and that's the expansion. So when they fail, they either fail through expansion or they fail because they've got a leak to them. And two of the ones on the downstairs side, they did fail. So when I turn the water off to it, you know, if you're going to isolate water to water heaters, and you're in a commercial premises with people that are just average Joe people that are working there, and if there was a leak, just put a lever valve, something you can do by hand, a little butterfly or a proper lever. No, this had the screwdriver type. So, you know, if there was a leak and they panicked and they did find something, they got to get it spot on 90 degrees across the pipe. If not, the thing's going to carry on leaking. So really shoddy little install there, be honest. And there was PTFE tape on the compressions up the threads, and you know I don't like that. So I had a proper moan up at that there, whoever fitted that there. Obviously, they're not going to pop their head up off the parapet and put their hands in the air, are they? But hopefully I can add the pictures. And you can see the two of them were falling off the wall. They had a stupid little bit of strapping on it and come out of that. It was all plastic pipe. It was all dropping. It was a mess, be honest, an absolute mess. But hopefully we'll get the quote in and we'll get to do the job and we'll get to do it properly, get it all piped up right, as it should be, and then hopefully we can get some before and after photos. That would be really, really good. So simple stuff, get the expansion vessel and just tap it. If it's dull at the bottom and hollow at the top, you know it's got some water in it. If it's dull all the way up, you know it's failed and it's full of water. So you can pump them up and get the pressure and get the water out. But it's really, really important for Legionella that you don't have that, because this one here is like 12 litres. That's 12 litres of water sitting there warm, stagnating, which has got the ability to enter the water system. We do up to like 24 litres expansion. Imagine if that failed. That's a lot of stagnant water, 24 litres sitting there that can harbour the Legionnaire. So Legionnaire, that's something else probably, I think. So that's there for that. I've got some other little bits of big shout out to Laura and Sarah, lovely to meet you today. Natural gas and LPG gas differences. So it was someone that's within the gas industry said to me, why don't you talk about it? So natural gas, methane gas, comes down the gas pipe, comes down the road to your gas meter, or comes via an ECV, and it comes into your home via a meter, and then into a copper pipe typically, and then goes off to your gas appliances. So if we get a problem and there's a leak, or we're messing around with it, doing stuff we shouldn't be doing with it, burning stuff that, you know, not being in accordance to how it should be used, the gas transport network, us down here in the southeast, we use like SGN, have the right to remove the gas from your property. So they can dig up the street and they can turn it off and stop the gas coming in. If you're being dangerous, if you're not servicing your boiler and you're causing issues of carbon monoxide leaking, affecting your neighbours with it, they have the right to do that. Because you haven't purchased the gas. You only purchase and pay for the gas after it's been through the gas meter. So if you can imagine, that's all theirs, and as soon as it goes through the dials and it turns them over, that's when you're liable for paying for it. So the gas that's already in the pipe, you've already paid for that, not a problem at all. It's your legal property. Are you going to capture that, put it in a bag, carry it around the street? I don't know. Obviously you can't do that because it won't work, but that's your legal property. After you've been metered for it, but before that, nothing to do with you, it's to do with them. You haven't paid for it yet. LPG is different. So obviously LPG is a liquid gas and you get it in big bottles. Sometimes you get it in bulk storage. You can get it stored in vessels under the ground and you can get above storage. And I put some pictures up of some big storage vessels quite recently on a commercial job down in Sandwich. But you pay for that up front. That's not a natural or methane gas. So that's more normally like a propane that you pay for. So you pay up front. So you got your two maybe big 47s or 447s. So you got a little twin set, four bottles set up, you know, two on each side coming in. And there's an issue. And I turn up because I'm an LPG engineer. I turn up and we go, right, okay, there's a problem with your LPG gas appliance. We need to turn it off. And I go to the valve and I turn it off. What I can't do by law is disconnect that gas bottle and put it on my shoulder and walk away with it, because it's Caligas, Flowgas, whoever it be's bottle, and they've already paid for that material in the bottle. So that is me done for theft. So we're not allowed to remove the gas. So on natural gas coming through the street, they can turn you off because you don't own it. You don't own the meter, you don't own the lever, and you don't own the pipe coming into your property. It's down to the gas network that own that. After that, you do. But on the LPG side, it's their property. Now, I've never come across a situation where you've had a dangerous occurrence and I've said, oh, I've had to turn it off, and they've said, no, we're going to leave it on. It's never happened. But that is a bit of a difference between the two gases. Apart from physically, one's a heavier gas, it's a liquid, it comes in a bottle, you've got the butane, and there's certain rules around the butane, the blue gas bottles. I do not like those little portable gas heaters that you can put in your front room and wheel around with the little blue bottles. But there are different rules with those. Like, you can keep those little blue bottles in the cellar. You can't keep propane, the orange bottles, in the cellar. You cannot do that. I don't know quite why you can with the blue. I think it may be because it's in smaller vessels. But butane and propane, they work at slightly different pressures. They have different boiling points, like freezing points, but they call it boiling points, where it's usable. And when you and you leak it out, it does go to the floor, and it's called a creeper gas because it will just like puddle on the floor in theory. So a bit tricky in boats because you can't drill a hole in the bottom of a boat for a vent. So, but yeah, that's the main differences really. And certainly when you come across incidences, how do you then report and turn off the gas? You can't. They own it. It's down to them. But common sense at the moment has prevailed in every single job when we've had an incident like that. And people have understood and heeded the warnings of not turning it back on and let's get it all done and dusted. So I want to quickly talk about, there was a gas explosion and unfortunately two people passed away this year in Bedford in Cleet Hill. It's in the news. It's not a big secret. Not that I've got any inside knowledge. The other day I was flicking through, and I would say I often watch BBC Parliament on Sky. I'd never watch BBC Parliament, but I was flicking through the news channels, and it just said something in the corner about heat pump debate. And obviously we heard about it at the time. There was an explosion. A person, I think at the time, died, and one was serious, and that person died as well. But what they were doing locally, they were doing a ground heat source borehole. So at the moment, the debate in Parliament was there's no formal planning application required to drill a 100-metre borehole in your garden down towards the centre of the earth. It's all done on permitted development. So you can come along, get your big borehole machine, drill a massive great big hole all the way down, put your pipework down and your ground heat source material down to the bottom. I don't quite know if it goes up, down, up, down, up, down, or it just coils all the way up. I'm not too sure. I've not done the training for it. And then you take the heat from the ground up to heat your home. So rather than having like a heat pump, well, you may have a heat pump as well as in the traditional sense, but you take the heat from the ground and take it. So what happened was they drilled this massive hole and there was a massive natural occurring bubble of methane flammable gas that was in the ground at whatever the depth was. They're drilling the hole to 100 meters, so within 100 meters of the surface, and 100 meters, that's a long way down. And I'm not too sure how you survey for that sort of stuff at that depth, but it's a very rare occurrence. But it happened, and they drilled down, and then they were then going off to cap it. And as I believe, the gas then seeped through the soil and come up into someone's house and it went bang. An absolute tragedy, and hopefully would never, ever, ever happen again. And we were going to learn from it. But one of the debates that we're raising was who's going to be responsible for pockets of methane gas that's held in the ground that may leak out. What happens if they hit an oil reserve and the oil comes spurting out? What happens if they hit anything else? I can't think of. We won't get diamonds flying out of the ground here, will we? But if we hit some another material and it comes flying out, you know, the gas. So here we have Southern Gas Networks that are in control of the gas pipes, and it's their network. So if we unfortunately drill through it, they'll come out and they've got their technology. They've got their techniques of digging it up and repairing the gas pipe, and obviously putting a nice bill in for you as well for doing it. But ultimately, how do you do that? Once you break that crust that's holding that gas bubble in, it's then free to come up. You don't put like a tube in to sleeve it, unless that's what they need to do, put a tube in to sleeve it. But how on earth do you then make a seal around it to make sure that you are venting it up and then capturing it into that tube? Or do you then go, right, okay, we need to take this out, somehow take the gas off, not because I believe it was being vented to start with to atmosphere, and not even lit, but take it off and then compressurize it into bottles, because this methane gas had no odor to it, or it probably stunk a bit, but because it was naturally occurring, but the smell that we associate with gas is actually introduced. It's got a really big long name, I always forget it, but that's introduced into gas, so we can smell it and identify it as gas. So it was in theory odorless as it was coming up through the buildings. So it was an interesting debate. And then talking about ground monitoring gas, methane gas sensors and alarms for future for the people in the area. I think there was 50 homes evacuated in the end, but it went from, I think, the 2nd of July, and they had the explosion on the... Sorry, I've got it up on my computer here. It was, I should have wrote this down, 2nd of July, and I think it went bang on the 19th of October. So it went on for a fair few days and not being properly resolved. And so, you know, who's going to be responsible for this if it ever happens in the future? Interesting debate. I'm going to keep an eye on that one and follow that topic. So I don't know if they're... if these ground source drilling companies are going to change their procedures on doing ground surveys to see if this ever happens again. And obviously, fingers crossed, it never, ever happens again. And the whole industry learns from it. And certainly as we're coming more towards this heat pump stuff, and ground source becomes more of an option in some places, and some of the benefits that you can get from that over the electrical side. Obviously there can be more drilling going on. The price will come down for the labour and for all the materials getting it done. We need some more clarification on responsibilities for that. So yeah, I saw that on the television last week. So I thought I'd bring that up with you guys. And so it's just a bit of a point for topic for a conversation, really. So there we are. That wraps up another podcast number 30. I can't believe that we definitely passed that 6 month. 26 week episode. So thank you very much indeed for listening. Hopefully this has come out okay. Hopefully I don't look too rough after a day's work. You take care, guys. Hopefully the wind for this weekend is not going to play you up too much, and the weather looks a bit more mild and settled for this week coming. Obviously this comes out on the Tuesday, so that'll be Tuesday the 26th of November, this podcast will come out. So yeah, all your Christmas shopping and all your plans for Christmas all coming up, and Christmas parties. We've got ours coming up, which we're super excited and looking forward to. I've got to dig out my Christmas jumper. It may have shrunk in the wardrobe since last year, so I might have to have a little look at that. I might have to make another little Amazon purchase beforehand. But super looking forward to that, getting the team together with the families and having a lovely evening with a bit of dinner. We're going to the Inn on the Lake hotel. We've not been to that one before. They've got a little music evening, so super looking forward to that with all the families of our team as well. It's absolutely great. Okay, guys, you take care. Thank you very much indeed for listening, and have a great week. Ciao.